So at this part of the story, we're in Joshua 23 today. Joshua is giving some final words of wisdom. He is an old man, 110 years old, and he has lived his life very faithfully. Now Joshua here in chapters 23 and 24, he's giving a farewell, his kind of final address, his final goodbye. Joshua chose to give it in the form of some final instructions, a final sermon, if you will, right? This is kind of his parting shot. Heather and I started dating August 9th, 2012. I had to go back through Facebook and I looked that date up because I'm not sentimental like that. Okay, so that's what I spent about 10 minutes doing that. And we got married January 12th, 2013. So for those of you that are counting, we started dating and got married 5 months and 3 days later. And we planned a wedding, and she lived in New York and I lived in Illinois. That was a crazy time, right? It was crazy. It was a total of 5 months, and in that time she came to visit me in Springfield once. I went to New York once. And we met in the middle once. And then the last month, I moved there, right? So there was a lot of traveling and craziness that was happening. And I remember some of those being some like horrible, awful goodbyes, you know? Like tears and wailing and depression. And she was really upset about it too, right? I mean, that's... Anyone have a goodbye like that? A goodbye story, you know? Maybe a story like mine. Maybe there's a movie or a book or a TV show where somebody was giving a goodbye and you just felt like, oh man, you're like sobbing or laughing or... I looked up some. There's one that says, how lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard. A.A. Milne, the author of Winnie the Pooh, said that one. Walt Disney said this one, it's not the days in life we remember, rather the moments. The pain of parting is nothing to the joy of meeting again. Charles Dickens penned that one. And then the famous Dr. Seuss, he had this one. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. The thing about goodbyes is this. Goodbyes allow you to communicate what is really, truly important. And what I was communicating to Heather was how much I loved her and how important she was to me. And what these quotes I read communicated was that was important to each of these people, each of the people that authored them. And what Joshua was communicating here in Joshua 23:6-13 is this, is what was really important for the nation of Israel. What was really important for the nation of Israel was that they worship and obey God. That's what was really most important. And that's what he wanted his parting shot to be. That God, Yahweh, was worthy of all worship. And he was worthy of all obedience. So I want to remind us, our theme for this series, this final series in Joshua, is true worship is the acknowledgement of God and all his power and glory in everything we do. Romans 12:1-2 puts it like this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Worship has very little to do with music. Has little to do with what kind of style you like, what kind of hymns you want to sing, or what kind of praises and choruses. Do you like Hillsong, or do you like Amazing Grace? Like, that's not what is important in worship. What is important in worship is transforming yourself, transforming your mind, allowing God to transform you, and then knowing what His good, perfect, and pleasing will is for your life. That's what's really important. That's what worship's all about. Well, the first thing we're going to talk about is that Joshua encourages clinging tightly to the Word of God. Joshua 23, 6-8. So be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Do not deviate from it, turning either right or left. Make sure you do not associate with the other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their gods, much less swear by them, or even serve or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. So the first thing that Joshua points out is how God's people can know how to worship and obey. Well, how would they know? How would they know? Well, they know by clinging tightly to the law. They cling tightly to the books of Moses. Now, you guys know those books were, right? First five books. That's called the Torah, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those five books. Remember, just not too long ago, Joshua had the people of Israel stand up while they read the first five books of the Bible in the mountain. You guys remember that? They loved the law. They loved the writings of Moses. And Joshua's like, here's what's most important. Cling tightly to those words, because they are God's revelation to us. They're God's revelation to His people. This idea did not end here with the final farewell of Joshua. The rest of the Old Testament is about restoring the nation of God and teaching them the way to worship and obey God. And the way the people of God figure out how to do that is clinging tightly to the Word of God. And so now that we're on the other side of the New Testament, right? We ask ourselves, well, how do we know how to worship and obey God? Nothing has changed. We still must cling tightly to the Word of God. This is it. This is how we know. How we know how to worship, how we know how to obey. If we don't read it, then we're just doing what Tim said. We say we love God. But not really. But not really. I remember the first time I ever went on a roller coaster. I was a punk kid, and I was husky, and I wore husky pants, right? And so I'm on this roller coaster, and it was a wooden one, I think, and there was no loops to it, right? But I remember this. I remember being a kid, I get in this roller coaster, and it wasn't like the kind that you strap into that I can't fit into anymore. No, you know, it was like one that had a bar that came down, like click, 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 dunk, right? And so I remember this. I remember like being a little nervous. It was my first time, right? I remember them saying, as the other people were getting out, push down, and when you push down, it's going to pop up, this bar, right? You guys know where I'm going with this, right? So, I get in, I come, I click, 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 snap, you know, it snaps into place. And then everything's getting ready to go, and we're all like sitting there, and the thing starts clicking up, and I'm like, oh, I better just make sure it's real tight. I pushed down. And then I went, oh no. I don't know what's going to happen. Is this thing going to fly open? Am I going to die right now? And I remember I was terrified. And here's what I did. I held this bar down for the entire time. I'm like pressing. I'm like, just don't let go. Just don't let go. If you don't let go, it's not going to pop. You know? And I'm like, I spent the entire like 3-minute ride, because the wooden roller coasters are slow and they're longer. For 3 minutes, I'm sitting there terrified, right? And like, I had to go to the bathroom afterward. You know, that type of thing, right? But I tell you, I have never clung as tightly to anything in my entire life as that stupid bar, right? That's the kind of tightness that Josh was talking about here. Cling tightly to the Word of God. It will save your life. James 1:22, but don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Jesus replied in Luke 11:28, but even more blessed are you all who hear the Word of God and put it into practice. So, I print out this sheet. I put it in a bulletin. Everybody can grab it. 10 ways to get more scripture in your day. I found this on some blog that I found. I came across this week when I was studying. I thought it was really good. So take it, leave it, do what you want with it. But if you want more Bible in your life, here's some ways. Number one, listen to an audio Bible. Perfect for while you're driving. Now, if you download YouVersion, which we were kind of using and going through, Jason is actually caught up to our year-long reading plan right now. I am way behind. I'm trying to catch up. Be like Jason. Don't be like me. But anyway, here's the deal. This Audible, it will read you the Bible. You can actually hit play. Don't do it while you're, you know, driving, but you can hit play before you start driving, and you can listen to the Bible while you drive places. Pretty easy way to get more Bible in your life. YouVersion also has a kids version, and anyway, all kinds of cool things. Number one, go through a simple Bible reading plan. Don't start with a year. Do 7 days. Do 4 days. Do 2 weeks. Do something. Read the Bible. Do a Bible-based devotional with your kids. Kids' devotionals abound. Not all of them are solidly biblical. If you want to get ask me what a good one would be, I'll tell you. Bible devotionals are great. And while you're reading them to your kid, putting Bible in you. Make use of video devotionals with your family. I'm recommending videos for Bible time? Yes, yes I am. We have this awesome resource that you can sign up for. Most of you are already signed up for it, whether you've used it or not. It's called Right Now Media. And if you aren't part of it, there is a just rip off the tab on your bulletin and say, I'm interested in becoming a part of Right Now Media. They have like hundreds of thousands, I think, of videos you can watch. We use them for Sunday school. We do all kinds of things with them. It's absolutely free, no charge to you. It is the Netflix of Christian videos, right? All right, next one. Read a reliable Bible storybook with your kids each night before bed. Here's an easy one. Post Bible verses around your home. You can find them on the internet everywhere. Just post. Like some of these, like these pretty picture ones, I could never do that. But, you know, you can print those out. Watch a Christian video or listen to a Christian podcast that is scripture-based. If you're a mom, there's all kinds of mom, Christian, blogging, awesome podcast people. My wife can give you a whole list of them. I don't know, there's like these adult, have you seen these adult coloring books? Like they're like really, I would drive me crazy, but some of you are like artistic. You can get those, and they're wrapped around scripture and stuff. It's really cool. Or write through the Word with scripture calendars, and you can check those out at the link I included. Easy ways for you to get more of God's Word into your life. If you want to get more, do it. Do it. Try it. Number two, Joshua encourages true worship of God. Joshua 23, 9 through 11. For the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Here's the deal. Worship. If you're asking, well, what does this whole worship thing mean? What is that? You know, one of the New Testament, I've said this before, but one of the most descriptive New Testament words for love, for worship, and for worship is the word proskuneo. Okay? The word proskuneo, can everybody say that? Proskuneo. Okay, I taught you a Greek word, okay? The word means this, literally, to blow a kiss. That is the idea of worship of God, to Jesus. The idea of worship is to blow a kiss. Now, here's the deal. There are three people in my life that I will blow a kiss to. My wife, my son, and my daughter. And sometimes my daughter lately, right? It's because why? Those are the people I love. You want to love God by blowing, and when you do, you blow him kisses. I know, it sounds kind of silly, right? But that is the picture. That is the word picture that God has given us for his worship, is when you worship, you are blowing kisses to me like a child, like a little child does to a father. And here's what he says. If you truly love me, if you truly love me, here's how you show it. Obey. You obey what I have said. Matthew 27, 38 through 38. Excuse me. Matthew 22, 37 through 38 says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So how do you love God? You love God by devotion to him alone. Matthew 26, 24 says, no one can serve two masters. You must give up your own way. Hold on, I lost my place. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Luke 9, 23 to 24 says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you want to try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. So how do we know how to love God? How do we know what true devotion to him looks like? Well, the only reason we know how to do these things is because we have watched God do them first, right? God loves us. He has shown us what love looks like. God is devoted to us. He has shown us what real devotion looks like. The first verse that you learn as a child, what is it? John 3:16, right? The most famous scripture of all time. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's how you love. Because we watch what God did for us, and in turn we do that back to him. Number three, Joshua encourages unwavering focus on God. Joshua 23, 12 to 13. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. 1 Timothy 4:16 puts it this way. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and for the salvation of those who hear you. So how do we keep our focus on God? Well, one way we've already talked about, by getting into the Word. Another way is to actually do what we are doing right now. We gather together with people to praise, honor, and worship God. That's what we're doing this morning. We live in community with each other. We don't merely come to church for an hour on Sunday mornings. We attend a Sunday school class. We serve together throughout the week. We encourage each other in our faith. Talking about serving, we had 55 kids show up at Kids Zone this week. And we had a lot of hardworking volunteers that made that thing work. And it worked. It was great. It was fun. You serve. You sacrifice. Our elders, our deacons, they serve and they sacrifice time during their weeks. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meetings together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The point is, keep your eyes on the prize. That's the point, right? Focus on what's important. Keep your eyes on the prize. We watched a series in high school called Keep Your Eyes on the Prize. It was a documentary. It was like 14 parts long, and it was about the civil rights movement. It's a folk song that became influential during the American civil rights movements of the 50s and 60s. And is based on a traditional song called The Gospel Plow, also known as Hold On. Does anybody remember this song? Keep your hands on the plow and the various different versions thereof. But here's some of the lyrics. And this was kind of the anthem of the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. Here it was. Paul and Silas thought they was lost. Dungeons shook and the chains came off. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Freedom's name is mighty sweet, and soon we're going to meet. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. I got my hand on the gospel plow. Won't take nothing from my journey now. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Guys, our prize is Jesus. That's our prize. Hold on tightly, church. Hold on tightly, church family. We must keep our eyes on the prize. It took an unbelievable amount of sacrifice, dedication, and diligence. A whole lot of blood, sweat, and tears to change the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. It took faith. It took courage. And that was what was called upon from Paul and Silas in prison, the ability to keep going, to keep praising God despite the worst of circumstances. That's what Paul and Silas did. There is a reason that the people created a song borrowed from the old spirituals. The spiritual pillars of our faith knew what it was to hold on, to keep their eyes on the prize, Jesus. If we can learn anything from the amazing pillars of our faith, let us be like them. Be able to worship Jesus with everything within us, no matter what the cost. And finally, to end this, did you notice Joshua 23:10? I kind of skipped over it, but I bolded it here. Joshua 23:9 through 11, it says, for the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has been able to defeat you. Now check out verse 10. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Joshua, not so subtly, is telling God's people, you've got work to do, friends. It's not over. And Jesus said that. Remember his last words? Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Our work is not done, folks. Our work is not done, church. You get that? With everything we have, until we take our final breath, we need to be on mission. I say it every week. For Jesus. There is a world out there, and I don't know if you've noticed, but it's pretty much on fire. And it is being burned down. And we have life-giving water. Jesus. We get to share life with people. We get to see people rise up from the ashes. We get to tell people the greatest news they've ever heard, that there is a God that loves them, and He has made it possible for you to be with Him for all of eternity. Isn't that awesome?